Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend newsletter part two, and this is the last weekend newsletter for 2009. Several hours ago, Steve Nelson sent out his newsletter on the general market analysis. This newsletter covers the following topics, as you can see from the table of contents at the top. First, I'm going to talk about general commodities in general. Secondly, I'm going to talk about the U.S. dollar and the euro. And those are important for the commodities here. Thirdly, we're going to talk about interest rates, short and long term, and the big picture. Lastly, I'm going to talk about gold and silver, as well as gold stocks via the GDX ETF. And tonight's newsletter I'm just doing in a general audio format. As you know, lately I've been doing my newsletters in video format. But tonight, there's really too many charts to do in video format. It would be too large. And again, first off, I hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. It's definitely a time to get away from the market, enjoy time with friends and family. That's much more important than trading the market. And, you know, this week could still be quite light. There still will be pros will be gone. And, you know, again, we'll just see what the market brings us. So let's go ahead and get started here. For those of you who are new to this website, each item number on the newsletter has a number, and that is so you can follow me along as I discuss each chart and item. So item number one is a table. It shows you general commodities, some stocks did last week. You can see commodities on a whole were up nicely last week. CRB index was up about 1.7%, while the CRX, that's the commodity stock index, was up 4.75%. So nice week for commodities. Crude oil had a big week, gained almost 5%. And gold and natural gas are the two commodities that pulled back last week. Gold pulled back about 0.65%. However, it closed well off of its lows. It hit a low of 1075, and it closed at 1105. Gold was down Monday and Tuesday, but it rallied on Wednesday and Thursday. And so it definitely played some catch-up. And other base commodities were up nicely as well. Silver, copper, platinum, palladium, etc. So let's move on. Chart number two is the daily CRB index. The CRB is a composite of about 17 different various commodities. Anything from energy to precious metals, and even food commodities. And it has this potential little wedge flag pattern here, and it's trying to break out to the upside. And if the market has continued upside into January, which it definitely could, especially, you know, if the general market S&P and Dow have it, then this should continue higher as well. And if the U.S. dollar pulls back some more, which it looks like it will, then I wouldn't doubt this plays up more to the upside. Chart number three is the CRX Commodity Stock Index. Again, this is related commodity stocks, not commodities themselves. And you can see there's a potential little ascending triangle in here, and it could break out to the upside here. A target would be the upper trend line, maybe of a wedge, but you can see that measures higher. Chart number four is crude oil. And crude oil made a top back in October, and it really had a long consolidation. Pulled back pretty good, but it found support at the uptrend line. You can see my comments on December 16th. It bounced right off of there. And it's rallied up pretty nicely here, and it's now over the 50-day moving average. And so, you know, is crude going to go ahead and go back up to the top of this channel? It possibly could. So we'll just have to see. The ratio at the top, take a look at the top, the crude oil S&P ratio. Notice by drawing trend lines over the ratio, it tends to give you fairly good buy and sell signals. And, you know, you had a buy signal, looks like a couple weeks ago. So, and I can also draw a new uptrend line on this ratio. And so, as long as crude, this ratio maintains above this uptrend line, crude oil should go up. Chart number five is USO. That's one of the crude oil ETFs. It bounced logically off the 200-day moving average, as you can see. And the USO chart's slightly different than the crude oil chart above. It's still below its 50-day moving average, but the ratio, it crossed the ratio at the top for a buy signal. And the MACD crossed. And again, we'll just have to see if this forms a lower high or goes all the way back to the highs. So far, the volume has been light on the bounce, though. Chart number 6 is a daily chart of XLE. That's the energy ETF, energy stock ETF. And it had formed a potential wedge pattern. It is breaking out of the wedge. Volume has been light, though. The BPNER at the top has been pretty good for general buy and sell signals when it crosses the 20-day moving average, and generally when it gets overbought or oversold. Now, it didn't get down to extreme oversold conditions down in the 20 and 30 percentile level, but it did cross over the 20 moving average, and so we're at least getting some kind of rally here. If XLE makes new highs again, I think it'll set up some kind of top, but it's iffy if it's going to make new highs here. And a stock that we're watching for a trade idea, we mentioned this last week, is chart number 7. It's ExxonMobil. This is a 60-minute chart. Again, this is a trade idea. This uses our custom 60-period stochastics. Notice it's been 60-period stochastics has been below 20% since before December 7th. That's a long time. And it looks like it wants to cross the 20-day moving average here, or the 20 percentile level, the 60-period stochastics. If that does, I think you'll get a trade in XOM. Maybe it'll rally up and, you know, go to fill the gap or at least get a few points out of it. So that's a trade idea to watch for this week. Let's move on to some other general base metal commodities. Chart number 8 is a daily chart of copper. Goes back almost 2 years. You can see copper made a high, a little over $400 back in July of 2008. Then it had a huge steep sell-off as deflationary forces crept into the economy. Things were pretty scary, etc. Copper formed a divergent low in late 2008, and it's had a nice rally up this year along with the general stock market. Copper is one of the commodities that have really rallied nicely. It has come back further than most commodities, much further than crude oil and a lot of other commodities, etc. Anyway, I have two moving averages on here. I have a 200-day, which is logical, but I also have a 65-day moving average. Why the 65? Well, sometimes the 65 moving average is a key moving average in general markets. And if any of you follow the Aiden sisters are a group of, you know, two technicians. They're noted for their gold analysis, etc. But they like the 65-week moving average, or 65-day moving average. And you can see on this chart, copper has been holding above the 65-day moving average, well, since March of this year. And so that continues to hold. And copper closed right at a horizontal resistance here. You see the horizontal black area. If we break out from here, the next logical resistance is all the way up there at 350, which is supported back from 2008. So that's the next target on copper if it goes higher. At the bottom, the stochastics to follow is the 144 stochastics. And this is a very, very slowed down version of stochastics. And 144 is a Fibonacci number. And why did I pick 144? Well, because it's a Fibonacci number and also because it seemed to work well on this chart. And you can see it gave a nice buy signal in March when it crossed over 20%, and it's been over 80% since May of this year. So going forward, this 80 percentile level on the 144 stochastics is important for the longer term trend in copper. Chart number 9 is the daily chart of platinum. It continues to move higher all year, and it bounced logically off the uptrend line from the November, December 2008 lows, and based on the MACD curling up here, etc., it looks like it wants to rally up to the top of this wedge pattern. So to me, it looks like palladium or platinum has higher to go. And speaking of palladium, that has higher to go as well. I don't have a palladium chart in here. Chart number 10 is the Dow Jones Aluminum Stock Index. A couple weeks back, December 13th, I mentioned that this was forming a symmetrical triangle pattern, looked like it was going higher, and we had a couple of these aluminum stocks on the watch list. Well, it's continued to go higher, so hopefully some of you played these. So chart number 11 is CNX. That's one of the aluminum stocks. You can see it's had a nice, nice rally. So this is just an example of how you can look at an index. If you see a bullish pattern, you know, make sure to then look at the components of that index, and you can do pretty well. Chart number 12 is GGB, This is a steel stock, and it has a clear horizontal resistance at about 1765, so it's one to watch to see if it can break out from here. Honestly, I'd like to see it maybe consolidate here for a day or two before breaking out. But anyway, it's one to watch. Make sure volume is good on a breakout. We may or may not add this to the watch list. Chart number 12 is the steel stock. Now let's take a look at the U.S. dollar. So this is chart number 13. Here's the daily chart of the U.S. dollar. Again, it's quite a busy chart. We have a lot of different comments on here. And item number A, again, I have these item numbers circled. Item number A is the U.S. dollar itself. You can see the U.S. dollar, we have it put in a fifth wave bottom in late November, early December, and it's had a nice rally up here. It broke the 50-day moving average, that blue moving average, which was clear resistance, and it rallied all the way up to that nice logical target area in yellow, which was also resistance going back to December of 2008 and June of this year. So the dollar's got overbought here. It looks like it's going to pull back. But the way the move's been on here, I think the dollar pulls back a little bit, and then it will rally up again. And so I view this move up maybe as a wave A or wave 1. Even if it's a wave A, I think that we're going to have a wave B pullback. We'll find support around the 50-day moving average or maybe a little higher than that. Then we'll probably rally up higher again. Okay. So if that plays out, then the pullback in the dollar here would give commodities some more boost higher, such as gold. But then if the dollar were to rally up again in wave C later, then that'll probably cause further consolidation in gold especially. So we're also long U.S. dollar on a watch list, by the way, as a long-term play. But those of you who are not currently long the U.S. dollar, I think you could buy it on a pullback. Chart number 14 is a 240-minute chart of the U.S. dollar. I showed this chart last week many times. It had formed a rising wedge, and it had some negative divergence on the MACD. It's now starting to pull back. It broke the wedge to the downside last week. And I drew Fibonacci areas on here, so these are potential support areas for the dollar. 38% is around 77, and the 50% retracement is around 76.5. And chart number 15 is a daily chart of FXE. That's the Euro ETF. The Euro moves opposite of the U.S. dollar generally, and you can see that the U.S. dollar acted as support. We rallied right off of it. But the rally has been on rather subdued volume, and so it could still need to chop around in here a little bit. And there's a gap to fill above, though. And we also have the moving averages. Now, the next chart, chart number 16, is a 60-minute chart of the FXE, Euro ETF. And we showed this chart last week. It broke out of this little downtrend channel. But because there wasn't much of a base here, this could be maybe a wave 4, where we may just need to pull in a little bit here and then rally higher. You know, it just, that's the way the chart appears for now to me. Now, let's move on to interest rates and bonds before we get on to the gold analysis. So chart number 17 is a one-year chart of the 10-year treasury yield or 10-year interest rates, long-term rates. And these are, as you can see, the TNX broke out of a bullish symmetrical triangle pattern, and it is rallying up. So interest rates are starting to go up here, guys, and this is something to watch going forward. If this continues, this will eventually cause some stalling in the housing market, which people, you know, have been watching for signs of a bottom, or it could be a negative longer term for the market. So you really need to keep an eye on interest rates here, but the 10-year yield has broken out of a nice symmetrical triangle pattern. And the same with chart number 18. This is the TYX. That's the 30-year interest rates. You know, pretty much correlates with with mortgage rates. And again, the way you take the price on here, you can see it closed at 46.87. Divide that by 10, that's 4.687%. So that's the interest rate. Now, let's look at the big picture, guys. This is the really important going forward here. Chart number 19. A lot of people, you know, there's a big debate out there about what's going to win out. Is inflation going to win out or deflation? Well, in 2008, deflation definitely took center stage. And inflation has yet to really rear its ugly head, even though the governments of the world are printing tons of money. But this will be the chart going forward that we need to watch, this long-term TYX. That's the 30-year bond yield, 30-year interest rates. We have had an era of low interest rates since the high in 1981, when you could see this chart was over 14%. It says 140 on here, but that's divided by 2, so that's over 14% 30-year interest rates were. It's been on a downtrend since then, and it's still on a downtrend. I can draw a nice, well-defined downtrend from, let's say, the early 90s, and that downtrend line is a pretty good key to watch going forward. So if we start breaking over that, looks like it comes in over 5%, that could be something to watch. If we eventually break this, well, these long-term downtrend lines on these long-term interest rates, that could signal that the era of low interest rates is over and that we're going to have a period of inflation. So that's what to watch going forward, guys. That's your simplest thing. So, again, nothing's changed yet, and we'll continue to watch this going forward, but that's the big picture, guys. Chart number 20 is USB. That's the 30-year Treasury bond. As you know, bonds are inverse to interest rates, so it has the opposite pattern, and you can see it's an uptrend. Nice uptrend channel here from the 80s. And I also have a 110-day moving average on here, 110 period. That appears to be acting as support lately. So those are the areas to watch, guys. If we start breaking these longer term, that could be signaling a long-term change. And so that would, you know, fuel the market. That would cause issues with the market, gold, precious metals, etc. So, and also where you have your money, etc. So make sure to keep an eye on these longer term. Nothing's changed right now. There's nothing to do on your investments at this time, but it's just something to note going forward. Now let's move on to gold and precious metals. Chart number 21 is a daily chart of gold. Gold broke out of this beautiful symmetrical triangle pattern in early September and has had a nice rally up. It rallied up to around 1220 or so in early December. It's had a sharp pullback here as the U.S. dollar has rallied. Now, what do we got here? Gold has pulled back to a horizontal support going back to the October highs, as you can see, and we bounced off of that last week. We can also draw a nice, tight, bullish falling wedge. Now, the bullish falling wedge here tells me that we're going to get some kind of bounce up here in the dollar. And so I think we're going to get a bounce here in the dollar, but I think after a bounce, I don't think we go straight up to the highs here. I think we bounce up, go up a little bit, maybe we trace 38 to 50% of this, then I think we pull in a little again and consolidate. Because if you look at the MACD here, the MACD lines are just pointing down. Generally, when you get the MACD like that, you don't get sustained moves. And so what you'll get is a move up. It'll cause the MACD lines to get closer, and then you'll get another move down, and you'll get some kind of divergence. So either way, it looks like we got a... So let me summarize this. In the short term, I think the gold's going to have some more bounce here this week. But then I don't think it just runs away from here. I think it goes up for a little bit. You can trade it. And that were my comments last week. Then I think, you know, if you're a trader, you could sell the first rally. Then I think we pull in again and consolidate. Also, you can see at the top how that nice RSI gave a good sell signal in late November. It got extremely overbought. Support areas are, of course, that horizontal area just around 1075. And, of course, longer term are the March 2008 highs or support down in that area. So either way, that's what I see. Chart number 22 is the daily GLD chart. That's the ETF. You can see the same basic pattern here. And again, so I think we're going to have some kind of rally up through here, but I don't think we're going back to the highs right now. I think we're going to rally up, and then after that, we're going to consolidate again. So in short, you need to be a trader of gold at this time. Chart number 23 is the 60-minute GLD chart. And again, you can see that we're breaking this little wedge pattern here, but again, my same comments apply. I think we can move higher, but then we have some more consolidation to do. Taking a look at silver, chart number 24, we broke this bearish rising wedge to the downside in December, and on a rally up, I think we could back test the wedge in that gold area, and then we'll start pulling back again. Long-term support is, of course, the uptrend line from the October 2008 lows. Taking a look at gold stocks, chart number 25 is a daily chart of GDX. Gold GDX pulled back to the uptrend line from March this year, and it bounced off of there. There was a little bullish wedge here. So my same comments apply with gold stocks as well. I think they move up here a little bit, but then they consolidate some more. The 20 and 50-day moving averages just above here are considered resistance areas. Chart number 26 is a point-and-figure chart of GDX. You can see that we had five O's in a row here, but we held this uptrend line in the point-and-figure charts. If you don't understand point-and-figure charts, guys, no big deal. This is not a big major analysis of my update. But, you know, make sure to go to stockcharts.com. They have a nice point-and-figure education, or look it up on the web. Point-and-figure charts can be quite useful. Now, zooming down into GDX, chart number 27 is a 60-minute GDX chart. I had this chart last night. GDX broke out of this bullish falling wedge. I consider this first move up is wave A, okay? And then this pullback consolidation is wave B. And then I think we rally up again, go above last week's high, and rally up in wave C up there to one of the Fibonacci retracements, possibly the 38%, around 48.70, or even the 50%. So that's what I see. We even have a gold stock long in a watch list. I think it's SVM. You can check that out. So that's my analysis for gold for GDX. Chart number 28 is the 15-minute GDX chart with some wave count. And again, to me, this consolidation so far looks bullish with the volume patterns. So I think we rally up again this week. Now, taking a look at some of the little mechanical systems for gold stocks, chart number 29 is a bullish percent gold miners index. Very interesting chart. And I have the GDX at the top for comparison. So you can see your general buy and sell signals on the bullish percent gold miners index when it crosses the 8-day moving average and the parabolic SAR. It has yet to give a buy signal yet, but this is one to keep an eye on this week. And chart number 30 is the Rinko chart of the bullish percent gold miners index. I'm starting to really like this chart. It really gives clean sell signals. So your buy and sell signals are, well, first off, our buy signals, we look for the Williams percent at the top to go above negative 80. We would look for the CCI 12 to go above negative 100. And you would also look for the, to get a parabolic SAR buy on the price itself. So again, this indicator does not pick bottoms or tops, guys, but it's something that appears to trend pretty well. And chart number 31 is the Toronto Exchange. It's, heavily affected by precious metals and commodities. It has what could be a potential little ascending triangle here. It doesn't measure very far. It only measures about, maybe 500 points. So if, this would have another move up to the upside maybe into January, mid-January, and then form a top. And that also would fit with the general market. So, but again, it would benefit with the commodities and stuff. So that's what I see on these charts, guys. And anyway, hopefully this gave you a good idea on the bigger picture and what I'm looking for. And we will see you on the trading community this week. Have a great evening. Talk to you later. Thank you.